God of the living word, give us the faith to receive your message, the wisdom to know what it means, and the courage to put it into practice. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Over the last month or so of our gospel readings, Jesus has been very busy. We have been witness to several spectacular miracles, including calming the storming sea and apparently raising a young girl from the dead. He has had time to visit his hometown, where he was met with resistance and disbelief, unable to accomplish any of the powerful deeds for which he has become rather famous. He sent out the disciples, empowered by his authority to spread his ministry of preaching. Healing. Last week, we heard of the violent and lethal update on John the Baptist. After all this activity over the last few weeks, this week's reading almost seems like a little bit of a breather for Jesus and his disciples. Almost, but not quite. Today, the disciples return from their far-flung missions to report back. This is the only place in Mark where the disciples are called apostles. Considering the Greek word from which the word apostle derives means to send, this is the most appropriate title at this point in the story. Having been sent out, they now return, and as would also be quite appropriate, report back to the one who sent them. This simple action, however, underscores for all readers of Mark that apostolic teaching is based and dependent on the teaching of Jesus. Jesus senses that they are weary and drained from their work and travel, so he invites them to come away to a deserted place and rest. It has been so busy since their return, with so many people coming and going, they couldn't find time to even. Any of us have ever had days like that, either at home or at work. Jesus often goes off alone to rest and to pray. He knows full well the importance of physical and spiritual renewal in his ministry and encourages his disciples to the same. But the crowds will have none of this. Following them from the shore, they arrive before the boat and are waiting when Jesus and the disciples arrive. What a contrast his reception in Nazareth. And now we come to what this particular story is really all about. As Jesus comes off the boat, he notes the huge crowd that has already gathered. And we are told that he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. We often lose the depth of meaning comes with the word compassion. In modern usage, it is often diluted to pity, or at least special concern. In fact, the Google definition of compassion is the sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering or misfortune of others. But the English word compassion is actually derived from a Latin word that means to suffer with. It is a much more active process to suffer with someone than to feel sorry for them from a distance. As Jesus looked on the people with compassion, he knew and shared their situation. He felt their longing and their desperation and their hope. We also learn why he had such compassion. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The image of the shepherd evokes rich scriptural imagery. It brings to mind Moses asking God to appoint a successor to follow him so that Israel would not be left leaderless and without a shepherd. Recall that King David, before he was king, was a shepherd. The prophets of Hebrew scripture use shepherd imagery for both God and for their king. They condemned the wicked kings who exploited rather than cared for their people as bad shepherds who scattered the flock. Good shepherds protect the flock, search out the lost sheep, tend to the wounded, lead them to still waters and green pastures. They spoke of the day God would restore the scattered flocks of Israel and shepherd the people, gathering them together once again. And Jesus began to teach them many things. In his compassion, Jesus feels the longing and the need of the people. In teaching them, he steps in to fill their spiritual hunger and to provide the spiritual leadership for which they yearn. And in so doing, Jesus shows he is indeed the shepherd, here to care for the scattered flock. It is yet another part of the revealing of the true identity of Jesus as he cares for the people, teaching and healing them. The prophet Ezekiel spoke of God denouncing the false shepherds, the evil rulers of Israel, who could not or would not fulfill their righteous obligations, exploiting the sheep rather than tending the flock. God reveals to Ezekiel, "I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." In his compassion, Jesus now seeks the lost, binds up the injured, strengthens the weak, heals the sick. Of course, we know how the story ends, don't we? We know the compassion of God manifest in Jesus has much more to offer than just healing physical maladies. And we know it will involve much more than just teaching and performing miracles. There will be suffering and death. There will be the cross. That has yet to come. We also know the ultimate purpose of God through Jesus is nothing less than redemption. Not just redemption from illness and disability. The ministry of Jesus is a ministry of healing, to be sure, but more importantly, of forgiveness and restoration and wholeness. That is true healing. It is a witness and ministry of liberation and redemption. Of liberation and redemption from all that oppresses and diminishes.